You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. Two Peas, not a bonus. Well, I don't know. A bonus? I don't know. What is this?
I believe it counts as a bonus.
Does it?
My name's not Andy, so that makes it not a bonus.
Your name's not Andy. Yes, it's a bonus. This is a bonus. Let's just say what it is, because Andy wouldn't do this episode anyway. I don't think he's got a deep enough pool.
I don't know. I think he might surprise you.
I don't know. Well, Gerald's here, and joining me today, and as you just heard, Andy is not with us this week. We actually had a couple different recordings scheduled, and we had to slide in some guests to fill in for him on a couple different things. He's got a lot of stuff going on with the ministry, man. You know, he's a busy guy, and proud of him and happy for him, and obviously that takes precedence, so he's doing a lot of that stuff this week. So welcome back to the show, dear friend of the show, dear friend of mine personally, Michael Hill is back, and you were on when we did about a month ago, right? Superhero.
Yep, we did top five superhero movies.
Superhero films, infamously naming Black Panther as your number one superhero film.
Getting a lot of heat for...
Which got wow, I mean, it's a great film. And by the time this airs, we'll know whether or not it was an Oscar winner, but it's a great film, so...
It's going to be an Oscar winner. I don't know that it's going to be Best Picture winner, but it's going to be
an Oscar winner. That. You know Jeremiah that works for me.
Yeah.
He listened, and he said that when he saw the graphic, because I put Black Panther in the graphic.
Right.
And he said when he saw that, whoever's list that was must have only seen five superheroes.
Wow.
So he was really...
Wow.
He was really talking shit.
That's some hate right there.
He was really talking shit. Well, Michael's back, and like I said, he's a contributor to the show, he's a friend of the show, and... you know, he's always giving us feedback and chatting with me and Andy online and in real life as well. Outside of the show, we work for the same company, so on and so forth. So me and Michael are with each other always.
Always, 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 always.
I don't want to make Andy too jealous today, though, so let's not get too romantic. But what we're counting down today, guys, is right up Michael's alley. You know, he was able to be here with me in person today, which is cool because he's local to me. But I would have had you on regardless, man, because what are we doing today? We're counting down what?
We are counting down the top five movie musicals.
Musical films. So... musicals. Now, do we need to kind of define this or how we went about it?
Yes.
Because we are going to be excluding some stuff.
Yeah, there was some discussions about what we were counting and what we weren't counting. First off, there's no Disney animated films on this list.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing it? We're not doing animated, period, are we? Or did you do animated?
I did not.
We're not doing animated.
I did not put any animated on my list.
Okay, good.
List.
I couldn't remember if I told you, because Disney is correct. Disney animated is correct, but just animated in general I didn't include.
None of them would have made it. Okay, actually, right. No, I guess there's one that I would have considered.
Whatever. I mean, you
I
could
didn't.
Do it, but I didn't tell you in advance.
I didn't.
But I didn't do animation, so. So no animation, no like movies with music. You know, there's some
right.
musical movies like...
The definition was if dialogue is replaced with music, then it counts for this list.
Yeah, those are all five, apply to all five, or all 10 of mine because I have a 10 list.
I have a 10 as well.
So that applies to all of mine. You know, like you mentioned That Thing You Do, which is a Tom Hanks film from, I believe, the 90s that I love.
Yeah, absolutely love the movie.
But to me, that's not a movie musical because it's more music taking place in the movie.
Yeah, it's a movie about music.
Yeah, there you go. So if we ever do, movies containing music, it would probably Tom Hanks movies would probably be on there.
Yeah.
I love it, man. That's a good flick. All right, so... what do you feel about the list, man? Was it easy for you? You're a musical dude.
All right, yeah. So
you hit up the local theater, and you're seeing musicals all the time.
I go every month.
What's the guy's name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Manuel Miranda, you love him.
Yes, I actually went to school for drama. I was basically a musical theater major.
Right.
Before there was a musical theater major at my college, so that was something that I've always loved. And one of the picks on my list is purely because I was in it, and I grew to love it because of that.
Okay.
So this is my stuff, though I do have some deficiencies, and I learned that while I was looking up my lists.
Really? You're shitting me. Well, I'm kind of the opposite. Like, there's every once in a while a movie or a musical will come along that I'll really like. I see a lot of them, but I just don't connect with them because it's always weird to me that you break out into song in an everyday kind of situation. I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, so, no, I totally get it.
It's almost like I connect more with the soundtrack than when I watch the movie with a lot of these. Like,
I definitely can see that with some of them as well.
Yeah, I love the music. But then there are every once in a while some that come along, and I was just commenting to you last night that I just watched one that came out last year. And I was like, this might fucking make my list. This is really good. But it's also I'm a little biased because type of movie that it is. But we'll talk about that.
I'm sure.
It is in my 10. It's not in my 5. But it was really good. But every once in a while, I'll see a movie that would be categorized as a musical that I'm like, man, this is the shit. So we're going to talk about a lot of those today. And what do you think about crossover? You think we'll do anything? Crossover?
I think there'll be two.
Two.
Yeah, I'm going with two.
Hmm.
Maybe two on the top 10.
Okay. I think there'll be one for sure because I feel like you mentioned one for a different category. Maybe like when we did Best Picture winners or something like that, I feel like you mentioned one that's on this list for me.
Yes.
But wasn't on that list, I don't
yes.
think. Yes. So, something like that. I do too many of these shows. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, but, I know which one you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
And that was one of the two that I was thinking.
Oh, okay. I got you. So, man, I tell you what. Are you ready, brother? You ready to roll? Do you want me to start or do you want to start? Because this is your category.
I can start.
You want to start?
So, my number 5, like I said, I don't think Gerald has seen it. I seriously doubt a lot of people have seen it if they're not big musical buffs. I was in it in high school, grew to love it because of that. As soon as I found out it was on DVD, I ordered it because you couldn't find it in any stores at the time. It's from 1954. It's called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Tell you about them sobbing women who lived in the Roman days. It seems that they all went swimming while their men was off to graze. Well, a Roman troop was riding by and saw them in their me-oh-my. So they took them all back home to dry. At least that's what Plutarch says. Oh, yes, them women must sob and sob and sob and fit to be tied. Every muscle was throbbing.
Haven't seen it. Did you call that? You said that, right?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it, but I did see it come up on some lists.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's won awards, right?
I don't know if it actually won any awards. It was right before the boom really went nuts.
So what's the premise? What's the deal with this?
The premise is it's pushing the envelope for especially for today. A woodsman goes into town with the express purpose of restocking for his family and finding a wife. And he's intent on finding a wife that day. And he does. And
so seven of them.
No, seven brides for seven brothers.
So it's a different dudes.
Yes. He is the eldest of seven, and he doesn't tell his new wife that he has any brothers and that they all live in the same house.
Oh, okay.
All so right. He goes to town. He finds this woman. They get married right then, and they go off into the mountains, and then he tells her that he has 6 brothers that they're going to live with.
Wow, true love, brother.
Yeah. So there's a lot of drama with that, and then the boys all notice how wonderful Adam's life is,
so they
decide they need to go find women as well.
So they're literally going shopping for wives.
Pretty much.
Wow, that's, yeah.
But they end up kidnapping the women.
Interesting.
And then there's some Stockholm Syndrome, and they decide that they're going to take the girls back, and there's an avalanche.
All right.
And they get stuck for a couple of months in the mountains, and eventually all of them fall in love. And
so a little hostage situation, a little Florence Nightingale.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of awkward and looking at the Me Too movement and everything.
It's a brave pick, brother.
It's a bit
that's
rough.
That's a brave pick.
But it's got some major like power songs that have stuck with me for 25 years.
Yeah, I love all these soundtracks on mine too. Yeah. And the soundtracks really carry the films in most cases for me. All right, so Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, is that right?
Yes. 1954. Right, it stars Howard Keel and Jane Powell. Jane Powell did a lot of stage work. Howard Keel was in a lot of musicals in the 40s, from the 40s to 60s.
Okay. All right, well, I've got, so that was 54, you said?
Yes.
So I've got one film from the 50s, which would be like kind of the musical era. You know, a lot of musical films were coming out in the 50s.
Yeah, there was you see a few in the 30s, a few in the 40s. Yeah. I have some representation from a lot of decades.
I kind of do too, actually, which was unintentional. But this is the only one from that kind of era where you just mentioned with Seven Brides. So my number 5 is actually on AFI's Top 100 Musicals is number 1. It's my number 5, Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. come on with the rain. I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane.
That's the big deficiency in my list.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I have never seen Singing in the
Rain.
Oh,
wow. Well, I've seen it before as a young kid. I want to say I saw it in high school the last time I saw it. But actually, Jamie and I just watched it last night. I knew we were doing the episode.
There you go.
And I'm like, I feel like I want to put this on my list, but I don't really remember it, you know? So we watched it.
What method did you watch it on?
iTunes. We rented it for like $3. So we watched it last night. She loves musicals in general. So she was a big fan of it. But Debbie Reynolds in there, Carrie Fisher's mom. She's awesome in it, and it's just fun, man. I mean, it tells the story of because the story takes place in the 30s, even though the film came out in the 50s.
Transitioning from silent to focal pictures.
Right. So Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds' character are trying to adjust because they've never been in vocal pictures before, pictures with voice. It was all silent film. So, you know, as stars, can they make it when they have to use their voice as opposed to just their looks? So, and then obviously the music's infamous, you know, just the Singing in the Rain, the Rain song alone.
I've seen that song.
Good morning, good morning.
That's
a good one too. But it's a great soundtrack and it's just a feel good movie, man. There's another one coming up on my list that's much, much, much more modern. But I was commenting to my wife last night that the one that we love that just came out recently really, really, really borrows from Singing in the Rain. And I wonder if that's why I connected with that one so much a couple years ago, because it just really reminded me of almost like, it was almost like a remake.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, it was a different kind of story. I mean, different story because it was set in modern era, not in the talkies. But just, it was like, visually, it was almost like it was a remake.
Okay.
But I really liked it. But
I'm interested.
Singing in the Rain is my number five. I can't believe you haven't seen that.
Yeah, my wife just found out last night that I hadn't seen it.
Did she mention that one?
Yeah, she did. She was like, well, that's got to be on there. And I was like, it can't be. I've never seen it.
That's surprising to me. And I, you know, I saw it was on the American Film Institute as number one. I was actually surprised it was their number one.
Yeah, I was too. I looked at the same list.
And I was like, wow, holy shit, I guess I do need to put it in my top five. It definitely was going to be in my 10 no matter what, even if I hadn't rewatched it.
Well, I'm glad it was on your list because I was a little embarrassed that it's not on mine.
Rewatching it last night bumped it into my top five. It would have eventually fallen in my top 10 had I not just re-seen it. But it was great to kind of go back down memory lane there. So Singing in the Rain is the only like quote unquote classic on my list. Well, I take that back. There's one more coming up. So that's my number five. All right, over to you, man, for your number four. What do you got?
Number four for me is where I think we're going to have some crossover 11 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're in 1965 with Julie Andrews' Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music. All right. My wife's favorite.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did not.
She
not
loves
shocked.
This movie, brother.
I have had the joy of seeing Julie Andrews live. I saw her on Broadway in the mid-90s. She's fantastic, and this really shows how strong she is as a vocalist. It's got a classic story. It's based off a true story.
Mm-hmm.
The songs they just stick with you. Like, every song in it, like, my kids sing them. They've only seen this movie once.
Right.
And, you know, that iconic opening scene is just, as stated, it's iconic.
Right.
I mean, there's not really any better way to put it.
Right.
But it also won Best Picture.
Of course.
It was Rodgers and Hammerstein. They were huge in that era of musicals. And I think of all the song or all the musicals on my list, it probably has the most songs that are memorable.
Okay.
And it's always stuck with me, but I didn't see it until later in life, and I think that hurts it for longevity for me.
We talked about this on a previous episode with a different guest. I can't remember what the fucking topic was because I do too many of these.
It was biopics.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, biopics, which you got named, which I never thought of as a biopic, but it is. What did you think of the NBC live-action piece of shit?
I think you said enough. You called it what it was.
I mean, I'm saying this, but honestly, I only watched the first 10 minutes and I was like, this is fucking horrible.
The kids were fantastic. Like, those kids, there was so much talent, and a couple of them have moved on and continued to work.
Yeah.
The adults, there was one person who did any good at all.
Okay.
So
that was Carrie Underwood in the main role, right?
She did not do any good at all.
Yeah, I like her too.
And Bill from True Blood was garbage as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. Well, you know, I don't hate on this movie. I'm just not a giant fan of this movie.
Okay.
So we don't have crossover.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I mean,
that was only one of the two that I thought we were going
to have. It was a little too, like I was talking about at the beginning of the show, it was a little too singy for me. It's like, okay.
Fair enough.
You know, I get it. You can sing your emotions. I get it.
I did leave a movie off because this movie's on there.
Okay. All right. Well, there's another one that I think that we may have crossover on. Oh, actually, that's not my number four. It's my number three. But my number four, I'll go ahead and give you right now. It's not going to surprise you. So my number four, I had to put on here to give a shout out to my horror roots in my horror love. Absolutely love the horror genre, as you know. Creepiness, as you know. Tim Burton, as you know.
Yes.
So 2007, yep. Sweeney Todd and yep. the Demon Barber of Fleet Street is my number four. This is just a really, just a fucking crazy musical, first of all.
Absolutely.
A crazy story about literally a serial killer disguising himself as a barber in, I want to say, the 1800s, I think, in England.
It's either late 1800s, early 1900s.
But kind of like the Jack the Ripper type days. But, you know, and it's dark, man. It's dark and demented.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be on your list.
And it's
no doubt.
And the movie version is Tim Burton. So not only that, you got the marriage of Tim Burton and Johnny Depp yet again. Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter yet again. So it's a great kind of collaboration that these professionals have in cinema. And this is the only time that Tim Burton as a director has taken a stab at a musical. No pun intended. And,
is that true? Is that really true?
Right?
Nightmare?
Well, he didn't direct that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Henry Selick was the director. But yeah, as the director. So I love Sweeney Todd, man. I mean, it's really for the kind of blood and gore aspect of it. You know, it was rated R. It's the music itself is kind of uplifting and fun to listen to, but the movie is just dark and just horrific. I mean, it's a horror film. It's a horror musical, which you don't get a shit ton of those. So I've never seen this one on the stage. This is a show that I would rush to see at the DPAC or whatever if it came around. I love the story of Sweeney Todd because of its kind of horror background. But yeah, that's my number four. You've seen this one, right?
Oh, absolutely. The only thing that really held it off of my list is Johnny Depp's performance.
Really?
Yeah, his singing chops aren't there.
That's true. I mean, I'll give you that. That's
like,
true.
It's just, if it hadn't been for that, yeah, it would definitely be in my top 10.
I think more.
The production was great. The
absolutely,
visuals were great.
Yes, Tim Burton.
But it held true to the source material. I actually almost did this in high school as well.
Yeah.
My high school musical director loves Sweeney Todd and really wanted to do it. We had ordered the blades and everything, and wow. It didn't get approved.
You know, it's funny.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know, right? It's funny that you say that because I remember seeing a news story like 4 or 5 years ago of a school production of this in high school, and it was like an uproar in the town.
Oh, yeah, I'm
and
not
shit.
Shocked.
But they did it, you know?
Yeah.
I remember reading about that. But yeah, Sweeney Todd from Tim Burton. And the frequent collaborator Johnny Depp starring in that film is my number four. So that swings us over to you for your number three, Michael. What do you got, man?
All right. Number three is probably the movie I've seen the most on this list at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it over 200 times.
Wow. Okay.
In the theater.
What? You've seen it over 200 times in a theater?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
And that
carry
will
on.
Actually give it away a little bit for people who are in the fandom. It's from 1975. I saw it on its 25th anniversary. This is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And you performed in this, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. Part of why I've seen it so many times because I've actually played Rocky in it for probably okay. 2.5 years. I saw it a lot.
This is a good one. This is one that, truth be told, I haven't seen in fucking forever, though.
Right. Well,
the music I know. The music I know. But the movie, I don't really remember, to be honest.
It's Richard O'Brien. He did Rocky Horror Show, was the stage production, and then he did this, and he plays Riff Raff in it. You've got Meat Loaf. You've got Susan Sarandon, who ignored the fact that she was in it for decades, refused to admit that she was even in the movie, and it's like, but we can see you. And then, of course, it's got Tim Curry, and it's one of those iconic roles for him. It's who I think of. It's the character I think of when I think of Tim Curry. It's Frankenfurter. I saw it on its 25th anniversary. I went in October of 2000 to see it first time. And it's not a great movie. The music is great, mm-hmm. but it's like it's a rock musical. It's one of the first really rock musicals at the time. And the story is very cliche, but it's an experience. And if you fall in love with that experience, it's gonna stick with you. And that's where I am. You know, I haven't seen it in probably 7 or 8 years.
Well, you have a personal connection to it, too.
Exactly.
There's something to be said for that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about the experience for me. But the music, it's a lot of fun. It did have a garbage sequel called Shock Treatment.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely.
Yeah, I had never seen it. I've heard so many bad things about it. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pass on that one.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, that's a good pick, man. It got a lot of shout-outs online as well. I just haven't seen it forever, to be honest. When I think of Tim Curry, I think of Pennywise. And
I'm not shocked by that.
Pennywise from It in the 80s and then from Clue.
Yeah.
The Butler and Clue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Butler and Clue, I also think of The Devil in Legend.
Yes, absolutely.
And Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah, true. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. That just put a memory in my head when you said that. All right, so that's your number three. My number three, I thought we would have crossover on this. I'm not sure now. 1964, My Fair Lady.
It's on my honorable mentions.
Okay. Audrey Hepburn, based on Pygmalion, the classic story from literature, and I had to read this in high school, which after we read it, did you as well?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. And then after we read it, we watched this movie
version
of it. So it was probably the first musical that I remember liking at a young age. Like, you know, I remember being like, oh, okay, I can watch this and enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it was great.
And
I love it.
I know it wasn't the first one I saw because of another one that's coming up on my list, but it was the first one I can remember kind of sitting there being into it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I loved it.
Go ahead.
It was number five on my list for a while, and I had to do some reshuffling, and I absolutely adore My Fair Lady.
I do too. I mean, Audrey Hepburn's a gem, one of the classic actresses from that era that just her image and her filmography just live on forever.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
What was that?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain,
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain,
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Bravo!
I want to say she either won or was nominated for the Academy Award for this. I know it won Best Picture.
I know she was nominated. I'm not 100% sure if she won.
Yeah, I know it won Best Picture because I looked that up recently. Just a great film, man. And it's long. I remember being a little bit long.
A lot of musicals are really long.
It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, most of them are in that range, unfortunately, for attention spans.
But, you know, the costume design and, I mean, her performance alone, you know, the rain in Spain.
The rain in Spain.
Mainly on the plane. You know, just the whole story of her.
Henry
Higgins. And her story of having to turn from kind of just a common person to just this, sophisticated.
Absolutely.
It's just a really cool story, man. And it's like a rags to riches type story, but a feel-good one at the same time. And Best Picture winner, My Fair Lady, is my number three.
Absolutely beautiful.
From 1964. All right, so that's my number three. We're up to our runners up, guys. I'm excited. This is gonna be a quick episode, Michael. We're flying through this, but that's probably because I don't know shit about musicals.
Well,
so.
I can talk about my honorable mentions for days as well. So
I don't have a lot to lend except for the titles, but okay,
that's not fair.
All right, so what's your number two, man?
Number two is another one I think we might have crossover on. I could be wrong. It is for me. It's one of the first musicals I remember seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was one my mom loved, so it kind of stuck with me because of that. Perfect age for her because it came out when she was a senior in high school. It was 1978. Grease.
That's a good one. Some honorable mentions.
There you go.
Yeah.
Grease is the word, man. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. It kind of pushed her musical career into the U.S. It pushed him further into the spotlight of an American movie star.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Saturday Night Fever, and then this back to back, and it was the start of his career. There's a lot of names in this movie that just kind of they're still around, and Jeff Conway, Rizzo. Why am I blanking on her name?
I can't remember.
Stockard Channing.
That's right, Stockard Channing.
So you know, and Stockard Channing was I think 30 when it was filmed.
Yeah, but she's in high school,
right?
I feel like that's a criticism now of the Grease films is like, okay, dude, Travolta looks 40. Like why? What?
But he was only 24 at the time.
You know.
But yeah, no, I mean it has huge impact for me because it was one of the first ones I remember ever seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt a connection to Sandy because I was that prim and proper kid growing up that didn't want to do anything wrong. And I actually performed as Sandy in Sandra Dee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on stage. No doubt. I was in a womanless beauty pageant and somebody wanted to do that as their musical number. So
Hey, why not?
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, it's had remakes. It's had sequels.
Yeah, I think of the movies that'll get mentioned today, Grease is definitely one of, if not the one, that's such a zeitgeist movie.
Sure.
It's just everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
It's just just that image is just embedded in your mind of the leather outfit, and they're doing
T-Birds and Pink Ladies.
You know, You're the One That I Want's in there, and yeah, and Summer Lovin' and
Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning, yeah. I mean, the soundtrack is.
Soundtrack's amazing.
You know, me and Andy DJ weddings, and I mean, that's always a hit, brother. People love the Grease soundtrack, and it's the music's amazing. It fit with the times right there in the late 70s, even though it kind of took place. Did it take place in the 50s in the movie? Or was it a.
I believe so.
It was definitely a pre before when it came out.
It should have been the 50s.
Yeah. So, Grease, man, good one. Like you said, John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, and that's a classic, man. I like that one. It would have been number 7 on my list.
There you go.
So.
Very fitting since My Fair Lady was my number 7.
Well, I know, right? A little crossover there. That's good, though. That's good. All right, so my number 2 is a recent film, and it came out not even 2 years ago, man. And I had seen different things on, like, YouTube and clips and stuff from the performances because they got nominated for a ton of Oscars that year. But I had never seen the full movie until very recently. I just saw it about a month ago. My wife had seen it, and she's like, you know, I know you're not into musicals. I think you'll like this. I mean, you like all the actors in it. The music's great.
And I knew this was going to be on your list.
And I'm like, okay, you know, and then I tried it only a month ago. Yeah. And I was like, you want to watch it? I'm going to go ahead and watch it because I know we're doing musicals.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I want to watch it. I love it. So I loved it. She was right. I mean, it was right up my alley, brother. And let me go ahead and name it and then we can talk about it. My number 2 is La La Land from 2017. You've seen it?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was hoping you'd seen it so we could talk about it. So this is the one I was talking about too that borrowed, I felt like, visually from Singing in the Rain.
I can see that.
A lot of bright colors. Damien Chazelle is the director here. And he did Whiplash, too, which I also really liked with J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller.
Yep.
But he's a great director that kind of incorporates music into his movies. And this is a full-blown musical. It's very vibrant to look at. A lot of cool choreography. That opening scene is all one shot.
Opening scene is why I think it won was nominated for as much as it was.
Yeah, I mean, the L.A. freeway and just the one take. I mean, it was just crazy, man, the choreography that had to go into that. But that was wonderful. Emma Stone won Best Actress for this. I don't think she should have won Best Actress that year.
No.
If I was putting in a vote.
No.
Because she was up against Natalie Portman that year.
Yeah.
Which was phenomenal.
I don't think she deserved it even with... Yeah. I don't even know if she deserved the nomination, to be completely honest.
Well, you know, I like her, but I'm not like, holy shit, she's amazing, you know? But
I love a lot of what she has done. Easy A is one of my favorites.
Easy A is great. The Favorite was fucking, I know you might not have seen that yet, but it came out last year. It was like, that's her best performance of her career in The Favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I think she got nominated this year for that, too. But anyway.
Was she in Hidden Figures? Not Hidden Figures.
No, she was. No,
it was The Pie, The Poop Pie. Why am I blanking?
Oh, The Help.
Yes.
She was in The Help.
Yes.
Wow, we fucking came around to that.
Yeah.
The Poop Pie got me, though.
Yep.
I was like, well, oh, yeah, The Poop Pie. Yeah, she was in The Help. Yeah, she did great in that film as well.
Yeah, she's fantastic in that.
She's a good actress. I mean, I like her. The musical numbers were great. The songs are really catchy. I love Ryan Gosling. He's been one of my favorite actors the last 10 years. He's awesome. I want to say he actually got nominated for that movie as well. And, you know, the story is a little kind of... You look at it and you go, okay, this like handsome, well-to-do white guy saving jazz music. Like, I don't really think it.
I have a lot of problems with this movie.
You know, the narrative doesn't really fit. I'm going to let you voice it, but I guess what I'm saying is that what I thought was really cool about La La Land and why I liked it so much is that I felt like it took place in modern day, but not only the way they kind of carry themselves and the costumes and just the overall kind of repertoire in the film with the main characters, but also kind of like the subject matter. It was almost like they wanted to stay in a different time when, like, Singing in the Rain, American in Paris, in the 50s, where, like, you could kind of get away with a storyline like this.
I didn't think it took place in modern day.
It's not in the 50s, though, right?
No, I think it's, like, 60s, 70s.
Okay.
If you look at the vehicles, I'm pretty sure the vehicles
It might
are,
be,
are
to be honest, and that would actually lend to my point a little bit, because it kind of felt like that a little
bit.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like they were telling a story that in 2019 you'd be like, okay, bro, like, really? Yeah. But if this storyline was in, like, Singing in the Rain or a movie like that in the 50s or even, like, Seven Brides you were talking about,
yeah,
it plays differently, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And it can be a little more charming.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like Damien Chazelle and the filmmakers and the producers here kind of were like, you know what? I know it's 2017, but let's just tell this story. Like, this is a story I want to tell. Go ahead. Why do you dislike it, or you just have a couple issues with it?
I didn't like it.
Really? Okay. Well, I thought we would connect on a musical, bro.
No,
but go ahead. Why didn't you like it? That's okay. Go ahead. Why didn't you like it?
I think part of it was the hype. People were talking about how it was the best musical made in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And that opening number is amazing. Like, all credit to them.
Sure.
That opening number is absolutely amazing.
Sure.
I don't think that the rest of the music stands up as well.
Okay.
Everything, I think I was listening to the,
oh, the romances
this morning. Yeah. And I think Ashley said it best. It's okay.
Right. It was middle of the road.
Yeah. I mean, everything about it was fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. I didn't like the ending. I did not like the ending
at all.
See,
you know, I like a tragic love story. I know. I can see why you don't, and why probably the majority doesn't.
I felt like it teased me with a happy ending and then ripped it away.
Right.
And
but life's not a happy ending, bro.
It can be. and if I'm gonna spend 2.5 hours falling in love with this couple,
yeah, I see that.
Then give me the happy ending.
Sure, I get it. But you know me too, though.
Yeah, no, I get it. I know. Like, I have no problem with why some people really like this movie.
Yeah.
I think that as a musical, it's not as strong. As a movie, I totally get why people
that
would
might
like
actually
it.
Be another reason why I put it as high on my list, because it did have musical numbers in it, but it didn't feel like one of those old-timey musicals where they just break out in a song in the middle of a conversation. They would have a conversation and then off kind of in their when they were on their own, they would do a song.
Right.
Like, her audition number is really, I think that's really cool, where she's kind of like having her audition, but we see is the musical number. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of cinematography that was really well done.
Right.
There's a lot of good to it, but on the whole, for me, it's just
I get
it's okay.
It. I also like La La Land because I feel like the soundtrack's great, I think. And I also feel like if you watch it on mute, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful to look at. Great
like cinematography.
Colors
great.
Are awesome. You know, Damien Chazelle's got a knack for that. And have you seen Whiplash?
I have not.
Yeah, he does really
nothing
well.
But great things
he does
about
really
it.
Well in that, too. They'll be like vibrant, kind of like flashes of color, and it's an otherwise dark film.
Yeah.
And not saying that La La Land's a dark film, but like you said, it doesn't have a happy ending.
No.
And it kind of ends kind of like, well, that
I mean,
sucked.
Both of them get what they want. They just don't get each other.
Right.
And that's... That's to me, like
right.
When you have the whole movie is built around them working their problems out and then they don't work their problems out, it was a letdown.
I feel like I get what you're saying, and I'm not going to refute what you're saying, and obviously you're entitled to your opinion. I think one of the reasons why I was so pleasantly surprised by it is because I didn't expect to like it. I expect to be like, this is a musical.
Honestly, I probably would have liked it more if she had died.
Wow, you're a fucking dark guy, bro.
No, I mean, it was built as a comedy.
Right.
It was built as a comedy, and in comedy, they're supposed to live happily ever after.
Sure.
It ends more closely to a tragedy. If it's going to be a tragedy, let somebody die. It
sure.
Could be him. It could be her. I don't really care. Sure. But if they're not going to be together.
That, if we're talking about that ending scene with City of Stars when she goes to his jazz club and he sees her in the crowd.
Right.
About,
yeah.
And he sees her in the crowd and everything. That, I know why, I understand your criticism of the scene, but I loved it. It gave me chills because I'm like,
okay.
You know, if you put yourself in that situation, you know you can't have that person at that point, even though
they've moved on at that
even
point.
Though you might think, well, that shit, that's my soulmate right there.
Yeah.
But you just can't have her.
Well, I mean,
whatever reason.
If we want to take a page out of a great sitcom that ends horribly,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you can, because How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
I mean, just wait
Christ.
5 more years and somebody will die and they'll
wow.
end up happily
Thanks
ever
for bringing
after.
That up. I'm fucking have that in my mind for the next hour now. Okay, so La La Land is my number two. It pleasantly surprised me, man. I
honestly thought that's what you were watching last night.
No, I saw this about a month ago with Jamie, and I'm going to mention the one that I watched last night, which you may honestly not even heard of, to be honest.
Might not
It
have.
Was kind of a rare gem, but it was really good.
Cool.
This app called Letterboxd that I use where you can rate movies and stuff, I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars.
All right.
We're going to talk about it here in a minute.
Yeah.
So. But first... We have to give our number ones.
Yeah.
So thanks for shooting down my lava. I thought you'd be like, oh man, Jared likes the musical. I'm proud of him.
I mean, I knew you were going to love Sweeney Todd. So
yeah, Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
I mean, the day they announced Sweeney Todd, I was like, Gerald's going to love that movie.
That's fine. That's Tim Burton too. That's not
exactly.
fair though. I mean, Tim Burton could do, I don't even know what the hell I could say right now. He could do whatever and I'd go see it. All right. What's your number one movie musical, buddy?
All right. So my number one came out on Broadway in the late 90s, mm-hmm. and then it was turned into a movie in 05. And unfortunately for the writer, he never got to see any of that success because he died the day it opened.
Wow.
On Off-Broadway. That's Jonathan Larson's Rent.
Okay.
There are so many huge names in this. That
they just also did a... Did you see the Fox
live? I did not see it because of the rigmarole that went into the production of it.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. It didn't look very good. Didn't it come on after the Super Bowl or some shit? Or
the day before the Super Bowl, maybe? Okay. I don't remember exactly when, but...
I remember it was recent.
During the dress rehearsal, the guy playing Roger broke his foot or his leg.
Oh, yeah, I did
and
read
so
about that.
They aired parts of the dress rehearsal and parts of the live performance, and the dress rehearsal didn't have the oomph because they knew they were going to be performing the next day, right. So they didn't really go all out.
I did remember reading that.
So, from what I understand, it fell flat. I had a lot of friends that were like live tweeting about it the whole show.
Yeah.
They said that any time that it went to the live performance, it was great, and they could have loved to have seen it with him with a broken leg.
Okay.
Just let him be on.
I remember reading about that now, too. So 05's film version.
05's
now, Rosario Dawson's in that, right?
Yes.
I fucking love her. Did I tell you about her?
No.
I have her signature on my wall right here.
Well, there you go.
On the Heroes Comic Con I went to.
Oh, okay.
She was there promoting a comic book there. Her likeness was being used in.
You did tell me that, actually.
Anyway, that's aside.
You told me that like 11 years ago.
I still live in that moment.
Yeah, sure. I totally get that.
But I love her. I know she's in that.
It's like when you were commenting about meeting Chris Farley in New York.
Yes.
A couple episodes ago,
yes.
I was like, wow, that's really weird because I met Chris Farley in New York, too.
He was walking in the streets, man. Yeah. It was cold. He's all bundled up.
He was just eating cookies when I saw him.
I was like, Chris Farley. And he just gave me one of those head nods. He just kept walking. It was no big deal.
He waved me up and took me on a tour of the Saturday Night Live cast.
Oh, did he? he didn't give me nearly as much attention. Yeah. He was just like, yeah. I mean, he didn't even say anything.
13, so
he didn't even say anything. He just did the head nod.
I was a kid in NBC Studios, but that's not anything about
Rent. Go ahead. So 05's Rent.
05's Rent. They brought back almost the entire original cast.
Which is cool.
So you've got... Rosario Dawson was one of the two that they did not bring back. She got replaced. You got Taye Diggs before he was anything. You have Idina Menzel, who was like musical goddess now, but at the time, no one knew who she was. But now everybody knows her as Elsa.
I'm sure.
Or as Elphaba, whom I know you love.
They're doing a movie version of that.
2021.
Yes,
sir.
Not soon enough.
Jesse Martin from, I think he was in Law and Order for ages. He's in The Flash now.
Oh, okay.
You've got Tracy Toms, who was in the show about...
All right, go ahead. So you're talking about Unreal. But go ahead.
Yes, Tracy Toms. She's one of the secondary characters in Unreal. You got Adam Pascal, who's in the new Star Trek show. I'm sorry, Anthony Rapp, who's in the new Star Trek show and has been dealing... It was one of the key... components in the Me Too movement getting started, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Kevin Spacey and all.
Yeah. Adam Pascal, who's still doing Broadway. I actually saw him in a show at DPAC about a year and a half ago. He was playing Shakespeare.
Okay.
So I've actually seen a lot of this cast live, and it did everything that the stage show did, but actually elevated it. I know a lot of people kind of crap on it because they didn't have as much strength in a couple of the two performers that they replaced didn't have the vocal chops that they were replacing. But the show's groundbreaking. It pushed a lot of envelopes. It really pushed the AIDS crisis in everybody's face.
Yeah, sure.
And it was so poignant in the 90s. And it's actually a reimagining of La Boheme.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it's an opera. Almost every character is a direct analog.
Okay.
So even their names are really close. Mimi is actually the exact same name.
Well, it's a tough subject matter, for sure.
It is.
And they turned it into a musical, and then obviously to the big screen here. So when you see, just out of curiosity, because this might fall in that category, but when you are in love with a musical, with a stage show,
sure.
And then you hear that they're going to be making it into a film, does that make you excited, or do you go, oh shit, this could be bad?
Both.
You just kind of wait to see the product.
Yeah, and you know, the first thing I do is I'm watching the casting. Are they going to cast actual actors? Or are they going to cast actual performers?
Right, sure.
And you might, there's a show that's one of my absolute favorite, actually two shows that are among my absolute favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Rent and these other two shows, and both of them had some really boneheaded casting decisions, and the movies fall flat to me. One of them almost made the list, despite...
Okay.
The fact that one of the actors just didn't have what it took. The other one, I'm just going to flat out say it, Les Mis was garbage.
Yeah.
When your two leads just cannot hit the notes and you have to rewrite the music, drop them octaves for them to be able to sing the songs, maybe don't cast them.
Right, right.
I know they're going for name recognition, they're going for star power, but the show will drive that. It's one of the greatest of all time, and
I got you.
they failed at that. But then they had Samantha Barks from Broadway play one of the secondary characters, and she blew it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they should have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of people in Hollywood that have musical
obviously,
chops.
Yeah, obviously they'd probably try to go that route in some cases because the name's going to draw in people that
absolutely.
It wouldn't normally draw in. You know, was Anne Hathaway and
Anne Hathaway,
Hugh Jackman.
And she was only okay, and yet she still got the big push for the Oscar.
Okay, gotcha. So, I never saw that one on
Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's
painful.
Right.
Painful.
I never saw that in any capacity. I haven't seen it on stage, and I haven't seen it on the screen.
I've seen it six times on stage.
But this is also one of my wife's favorites.
Yeah.
I don't want to quote her, but I don't think she was blown away by the movie either.
No, I can't imagine.
She watched it, but I don't think she was like, wow, this is great. So Rent is your number one from 2005.
Yes.
So my number one goes way back, brother, and this is actually like the third or fourth time I've mentioned this movie on this show for different lists, for different categories, which I didn't intend to do, but I mean, this is a musical.
All right.
I looked over my wife, because I'm making my list, I put it at number one, and I'm looking over my wife last night, I'm going, this is a musical, right? And she's going, yeah, of course. So I'm like, all right, well, it's my number one musical then. So it's The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, absolutely.
From 1939.
Yeah.
So you hear me talk about this recently?
Yeah.
You haven't heard it yet because we talked about it for Cinematic Villains.
Okay.
You will have heard it by the time this airs, but Wicked Witch is one of my movie villains that we talk about in the episode.
Well, you love Elphaba too.
So I do, yeah. So the whole lore kind of surrounding it, and Wicked, like we're talking about musicals today. Wicked, obviously, like a prequel to that whole thing.
Yeah, despite Gerald's seeming disregard for musicals, there's a Wicked poster over his shoulder
That's right. It's on display in the household, brother. But, I mean, this is a classic, man. I mean, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the villains episode. The Wicked Witch is one thing as a villain. In my opinion, she was the first kind of animated, kind of like superhuman type villain in cinema, really.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, because
this
is way before the comic book kind of genre took off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she was really the first kind of like larger than life villain that was a little supernatural and, you know, not just a bad guy, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But then, you know, you just have so many iconic characters that come out of this movie. Dorothy, Toto, the Tin Man, Scarecrow, so on and so forth, the Flying Monkeys, Glinda. You have the music from the film. I mean, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is one of the most recognizable songs.
Ralph, See the Wizard.
From any musical.
We'll represent the lollipop.
Yes. Yes. If I only had a brain. Just the soundtrack's amazing. The special effects, the practical effects that they had to use, obviously, because we're talking about the 30s and 40s here, were just tremendous. I mean, this movie is amazing to me because it will live on.
Oh, absolutely.
From generation to generation. Yep. And I'm not even kidding that the first time I saw this, my grandmother was showing it to me. Right? So my grandmother would show my mom would show me. I've since shown my children. My guess is their kids will see it through them. It's literally one of those movies that just gets passed on and passed on and passed on and will live on forever. I mean, it's almost 80 years old now.
Yep.
So,
and I have yet to show it to my kids because when my oldest was old enough. Because when she was old enough to watch it, Annie was around and I feel like she would be scared.
Maybe
by
watch
it
together is what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
But, you know, I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, that's the thing, man, is this happened in the 30s. And we're talking about 2019 here, and you're talking about showing it to young.
Absolutely.
Young, how old's your youngest?
My youngest, 4.
So you're talking about showing it to young kids. They're going to enjoy it at 4,
absolutely.
5, 6 years old.
Absolutely. My oldest
now,
is going to love it.
I mean, it's crazy, man.
My kids both love musicals.
Yeah.
One of the musicals on my honorable mentions is only because of them.
It's just nuts, man. I mean, you know, and seeing this movie and my daughter having grown up on this movie, she's 17 now, and then being able to take her to see Wicked.
That boggles my brain.
I know, it's crazy. Being able to take her to see Wicked a few years ago and her having the story of The Wizard of Oz. Obviously, she hadn't read the book Wicked, which is much darker and demented. I wouldn't probably let her read that. Well, now she can read it if she wants to, but not then. But Wicked is like a prequel, so she gets to see kind of the development of these characters who are so well beloved and everything.
And I can't wait for 2021 to see what they do with Wicked. I've heard some names associated with it already. And
you gotta put Kristen Chenoweth in there, buddy. And you
that's
put,
not gonna happen.
You gotta put Idina Menzel in there in some capacity.
Maybe in some capacity, so. Yes, but I don't think you're gonna see them in the iconic
nah,
roles.
Probably not. Probably not.
I have seen Idina Menzel's niece.
Okay.
Associated with it. She was in
sure.
Glee.
Sure, why not? Sure. So that's my number one, man, The Wizard of Oz. You know, I've talked, like I said, it wasn't on purpose because I named it. We did movie villains and we talked about it. And then I talked about it when I listed my top movies to watch with the whole family.
Yep,
I don't know if you heard that. In fact, I felt like it might have been my number one then.
I think it was.
Hang on, man. I just love it, man. I mean, it's the first like masterpiece movie that I've like latched onto.
Yeah, and you know, it's been remastered. It was that the whole Technicolor thing.
Yeah,
they had it was one of the first color movies, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's got a lot of positives to it. You know, I thought about it. It was on my initial list.
You probably knew I was going to say it too, though.
You know, I didn't even think about it. I didn't try to pry too deep into what your list was going to be. I knew that Sweeney Todd was going to be on there. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much the extent of what I knew. I had some suspicions on some other stuff. I think we might still have one crossover on our honorable mentions, but I could be wrong.
Well, we'll see. We'll get into that right now, actually. So why don't you give a round, a wrap-up of your top five. Go through them again.
Alrighty.
Real quick.
So my number five was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers from 1954. My number four was The Sound of Music from 65, Best Picture winner. Number three was Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975. Number two from 1978, we have Grease is the Word. Mm-hmm. And number one from 05, we've got Rent.
There you go. All right, so now let's do our honorable mentions, Michael. So, you know, I keep it to five, so I round out my top 10.
Yep, that's what I did as well.
So let me go down mine real quick because there's a couple that I don't think you would even come close to. So my number six would have been number five, but I watched Singing in the Rain last night.
Okay.
I switched them.
Right.
So now it's my number six, but Annie from 1982.
Yep.
Little Orphan Annie. I love that. I've seen
the remake.
I haven't seen the remake.
It was good.
I haven't
it's very enjoyable.
But this is the one from 82. I saw that one on the stage a couple times too.
Okay.
So I really like that musical, and I thought the movie was great in the 80s when I was a young kid. You already mentioned my number seven, which would have been Grease.
Yep.
From 1978. And then here's the one that I just saw also yesterday for the very first time. It's a horror movie.
Okay.
It's a Christmas horror movie.
My number eight's a horror movie too.
So it's called Anna and the Apocalypse.
Nope, never heard of it.
Okay. It came out in 2018. All right. So it's a story about this high school girl named Anna who's dealing with a lot of kind of like coming of age issues. And there's just a zombie apocalypse in her town. And it's a musical, so they sing a lot of great songs. The soundtrack was awesome. Like, I was surprised at how into the songs I were. They were really cool.
Did you watch that on iTunes as well?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And of course.
It was it's on Amazon, too, though. I was into... I was thinking as I was watching it, if it made my list, how to describe it to people.
Okay.
And it's going to sound cheesy, which it is, but I think that's the point of this movie. Because
sure.
It's a horror comedy.
Yeah.
So when I say horror, it's like
most
funny.
Most musicals that are horror also are comedies.
So it's not like taking itself seriously, but what I was thinking of how to describe it, it's like High School Musical if that was a zombie movie.
Okay.
If there was a zombie apocalypse
happening. Disney actually made that. It's called Zombies.
Did they?
Yeah.
If there was a zombie apocalypse taking place during High School Musical.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Anna the Apocalypse is. So, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. There's a lot of really cool kills on there from a horror perspective.
Yeah.
The killing of the zombies. My number nine, I cheated a little bit. You said no Disney, but it's not animated. I went Enchanted.
Yeah.
My number nine.
That was on my.
Don't get upset.
That was on my 17.
And then my number 10 would have been Little Shop of Horrors.
Hey, there's the crossover I was looking
from
for.
86. All right. So that's a remake, by the way. I think that originally came out in the 50s. But I'm naming the 80s version, the 1986 version.
Yeah. 86 version.
All right. What do you got, man? What's your honorable mentions?
Number six is Labyrinth with David Bowie. I had a hard time deciding whether or not this was technically a musical. Ultimately, I decided that there's one song where they literally flow right from conversation and music. And then, I guess there's two.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rest of them are just kind of over what's going on. You have music. So I kind of waffled on whether or not it was
That's
a
cool.
musical. It was the first movie my wife and I watched together. And I've loved it since the mid-80s when it
Bowie,
came out.
Bowie.
It's Bowie. Yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah. And, you know, it's beautiful. It's a great story. I quote it all the time. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Sure.
As far as movies go, it probably rates higher than a lot of these as far as
sure.
movies I would love, but I didn't initially think of it as a musical. And I was looking at a lot of lists and it popped up several times and I was like, all right, I'm going to have to include that.
Yeah,
I
got some shout-outs online too.
Yeah. Number seven, My Fair Lady. Gerald already touched on it. I agree with everything he said. I just couldn't quite push it into my top five.
Understood.
Number eight is another crossover for us. It was Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
I, it's... I remember watching it right after it came out on VHS.
Yep.
It was another one of those things. It was like right after I'd watched Grease, I was looking for musicals. It came out and it's great. Rick Moranis is fantastic. Steve Martin is great. Audrey too. Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of the best creatures from any film too. We did creature features not too long ago and it got mentioned on that show. But yeah, just such an inventive idea about you know, killer plant. I mean, you know, it's just crazy.
Number nine borders on a cheat, but I don't really think it does. Moulin Rouge.
Sure.
I'd say
that's easily a musical.
It's the only jukebox musical that I would that I really like.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of jukebox musicals typically.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge was in AFI's top 20, I believe. Yeah, as well.
It was. It's and cool. that was part of what pushed me into making sure it was on the top 10. I do love that show. I love the movie, and it got mentioned in Andy's list for Elton John songs.
That's true. It did. Yeah. Great version of that tune. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Love Ewan McGregor in that. Mm-hmm. And then my number 10, like I said, this one's on my list because of my kids. My daughters have both taken to musicals, which is not really a huge surprise. My wife and I are super into musicals.
Sure.
We've already started taking my oldest to DPAC. My youngest is going to go next season because Aladdin's coming.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to be taking both of them to see Aladdin. That's Mamma Mia.
Okay, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm not huge on this musical, but I adore watching my kids watch this musical.
Man. It's a fun flick.
It's fun.
It's a good soundtrack.
There's some surprising musical gems in there.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
The performers. Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, I love her.
Constantly surprises me at how good she can pull stuff off.
Did you ever watch Big Love on HBO?
I did.
Love her.
Not a whole lot, but I did watch some of it.
I love her, though. She's one of my favorite actresses, for sure. All right, so I tell you what, Michael, let's open up the suggestion box online.
Yeah,
we're getting to the end here. We got some good suggestions and several that we haven't mentioned, to be honest.
Yep.
So let's see what you're thinking. You're the musical guy, so feel free to pipe up. My good friend Brian is out of town right now, but he really wanted to come on this episode with us because he loves musicals.
Okay.
So since he couldn't, he wanted to provide his top five. So his top five would go in this order. One would be The Sound of Music.
Okay.
Then he's got Fiddler on the Roof.
Just watched it last night.
Hairspray from 2007.
Loved it.
Travolta again.
Loved it.
There's another good one. La La Land. And Singing in the Rain would be his number five. He also said that he would like to give honorable mentions to Little Shop of Horrors and Dreamgirls.
Yep.
Dreamgirls got a ton of love online.
Yeah, it did.
And neither one of us mentioned that one. I didn't mention it because I haven't seen it since it came out.
Same.
And I don't really remember the music. And I remember I liked it, but I didn't want to be.
It kind of falls into the same category as Jersey Boys for me.
Okay.
It's a movie about about music.
Okay, I got you.
And we were veering away from that. It does still fit into the musical category for sure. Mm-hmm. But I just shied away from that style of musical just because.
I feel you, brother. And then Drew's a good friend of the show. He's always giving us feedback. Here's his top five. Little Shop of Horrors, Rocky Horror Picture Show. You like that. Sweeney Todd. So he's got three horrors right up front
there.
I like this. And then he's got The Greatest Showman, which we haven't talked about. And Moulin Rouge. What do you think of The Greatest Showman? A lot of people don't like that. Or it's very divisive. Let's say it that way.
So I'm going to say this really positive thing about The Greatest Showman. The music is fantastic. The performances that the people give is great. It's actually in Jackman's range, so he does a great job with it. Mm-hmm. He's a talented singer, just not built for Jean Valjean from Les Mis. But I cannot get past the actual subject matter of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They make him into a hero, and he was distinctly not a hero. He was a horrible human being.
Okay.
And the plot was weak at best.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this one.
I watched it largely just to make sure that I was being fair to it because I had read enough reviews of it that I was like, there's no way this is going to be good. And then I heard some of the songs, and the songs are killer.
That's cool.
Put it in a different limelight. Don't make it actually about a real life person and not vilify him.
Right, right. And then another good friend of the show, Tony. Here's his top five. We tend to match up a lot, him and I.
Okay.
And on this one, I take that back. We match up on three out of five.
Okay.
As I'm looking at it,
never mind.
His top five were Singing in the Rain, Chicago, My Fair Lady, West Side Story, and La La Land. I'm actually surprised you didn't mention West Side Story. I feel like you've talked to me about that before.
I have.
Yeah, you love that one, right?
I love West Side Story. Yeah. I just watched it a couple weeks ago, and it didn't live up to my memory.
Didn't hold up as well.
There's a couple of songs that are absolutely phenomenal, and I think a lot of what is beautiful about West Side Story is that it built the groundwork for so many things that have come since then. Mm-hmm. But now looking back at it, and this was my wife's first time seeing it, and she pointed this out, it's like so many of the tropes that are in West Side Story are taken for granted today and used so frequently that it almost seems like it's kind of cliche.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
And so because of that, I it just didn't have the staying power in my list. It was on my initial first cut going through.
Gotcha.
My list
I just knew you liked that one. And then let's see, the last couple I mentioned, two were great friends of the show and previous guest hosts on the show. Jeff from Cadavercast, here's his top five. His number one, I don't know that I know this one, but it's Nashville. I don't know that I know that one.
I don't know if it is a movie musical.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, it's a TV show.
No, yeah. I know he's not talking about the TV show, so I have to look that one up. He's also got Cabaret, Rocky Horror, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and Labyrinth. Or Labyrinth, there you go.
There you go.
Willy Wonka, I don't know that, in my mind it's not a musical, but I guess it could be seen as one, and I could see the argument. I just didn't categorize it as a musical.
I think it certainly counts with the rules that we've set. I looked at it, but I actually went and saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
Tim Burton?
No, the Broadway show.
Oh, the Broadway show, okay.
Last week. Okay. It was in DPAC.
Gotcha, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was great. It was darker. It was more like the Tim Burton version.
Good.
It's actually closer, it calls back to the book more, and there's a lot of death.
Hey, good. Love it.
And
death and candy, brother. Let's
do it. That's, it was great. What it else was could fantastic.
And then the last one I'll mention, Amanda. I love her. She's been she's in the Five Timers Club, bro. She's been on the show, I believe, six times now. But here's her top five. The Sound of Music is her favorite, and I knew that going into this topic. She's also got Singing in the Rain, Guys and Dolls, West Side Story, and Chicago. Guys and Dolls is the only musical I've seen in New York on Broadway.
Oh, there you go.
I saw it with my Uncle Anthony when I was, not young, but I was in like college age. But he took me to see Guys and Dolls. So there you go. That's the fan feedback this week in the old suggestion box.
A lot of
box.
Mentions of Chicago, and neither of us brought it up.
I didn't see it. I didn't see movie version of it. No,
okay. I figured you would with Richard Gere and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, I never saw it. I heard good things, but I just never saw it.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. All right, so that's it, man. So, Michael, thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
Last minute, you kind of slid in here so we could get a recording in before the baby comes, brother.
Yeah.
Baby's on the way. Baby's going to be dropping soon.
Baby's coming.
So, my wife's due a week from the recording that we're laying down right now, just so everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Which is also the day I leave town.
That's right, yeah. Have fun on your trip.
Yeah, man.
And that was our top five movie musicals with our fan and contributor, Michael Hill. Do you want to tell anybody where to find you or follow you on Twitter or doing that shit? Or
I'm not on Twitter, and I don't have my own podcast.
So you're good. So you I guess that's it. Your home address or anything? Or are you good?
No, I'm going to pass all right, on cool. that one.
Give me your phone number or anything like that?
No, okay, I'm going right. to keep that one quiet.
All right,
too.
So I'll put that in the show notes then. All right.
Thanks.
Just hit him up with all your Black Panther criticism.
Go for it.
Leave voicemails.
Don't hurt my feelings at all. I stick by my pick.
Leave voicemails. He loves that. All right, Michael. Thanks for being here, man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah, man.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.